quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to.
I came to parenting with everything I learned in childhood: yelling, punishing, controlling, and shaming. After trying almost every method, I found connected parenting and was totally shocked when empathy, listening, doing away with rewards and consequences, and being a safe place actually worked. It moved the behaviors of my children and it felt good, especially with my very strong-willed and highly sensitive oldest daughter. This podcast was born out of the idea of sharing the message and helping parents find more peace in a modern world. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. So glad you're here.
Welcome back to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. I'm Michelle and I'm here again. And I wanted to read a little review from somebody who left a review on Apple iTunes. And thank you very much, Jasmine RN, who says, "This podcast has truly helped me so much in my parenting. Michelle's parenting style supports a beautiful relationship with our children, and it's confirmed in the behavior my kids elicit. Parenting is about giving love and support to our children and also to ourselves. That's exactly what this podcast supports us in doing." Thank you so much, Jasmine. I so very much appreciate it. I love reading all these reviews. If you haven't had a chance to leave one, please do. And hopefully I can shout out a few more. I'm back for a solo episode, and I'm talking about the 8 things your child doesn't want to hear when they are upset or angry, mad, or having a hard time. Coincidentally, when I was looking through this list, I was like, I don't want to hear these things either. But often we find it our duty to tell our children to modify their behavior when they're having a hard time, but that's one of the things they can't do. In fact, it's one of the things many of us can't do. So here's some things that I thought of that I wouldn't want to hear, and I'm sure our kids don't want to hear when they're really upset, and then I'm going to give you some alternatives. Use your words. Lots of people say, use your words. How can some kid who is totally dysregulated, having a hard time, and out of their mind use their damn words? They probably can't even. If they're going to use words, they're probably not going to be the nicest words. So I don't know if this is an appropriate statement during an upheaval. In fact, I don't know if use your words is an appropriate statement at all. Of course, if a child, you know, wants to communicate, they want to use their words. But sometimes we're in such a state, we can't. I would avoid using this phrase kind of ever. But definitely when our kids are having a hard time. How about 2, take a deep breath. It sounds good, right? I see a lot of it actually on Instagram and Facebook that, you know, parents are teaching their children to take deep breaths when they're having a hard time. I don't think I'm necessarily against it. I just think, is that what our child needs in that moment? Do they need to take a deep breath? Do they need to calm down? Or is it that they need to be upset? And they need space to have that upset. And when we say take a deep breath, if your kid's totally off their rocker, it'd probably make them angry. Depending on the child's temperament too, it could make them angry. So I don't know if take a deep breath is something that we need to say to our kids. I think when your child is having a hard time, if you're taking deep breaths, really breathing while they're having a hard time, or you're really staying calm, I think it's more about modeling and co-regulation than it is about trying to teach a technique to a child who's upset. So I would really model calm and be present in those hard moments as opposed to saying, take a deep breath. If you are taking deep breaths when you're upset and you're modeling that, you're like, I'm taking a deep breath, you know, I'm trying to calm myself down. If you're modeling those things, then your child will glean it from you. But I don't know if the moment to tell them to start regulating is when they are really upset. We want them to have their upset so they know that we are not scared of their upset and that we can hold space for it. Sometimes kids just need to be mad. 3, I will listen to you when you are calm. Ugh, that one kills me because I think it triggers me from my own childhood. My parents used to say that to me constantly. We'll listen to you when you're not upset. Go to your room and calm down. That was like the ultimate phrase for me. Like, I was not allowed to have my feelings. And if I was upset, nobody was going to listen to me, but it didn't make me calm down. I'll tell you that. What it did make me is upset and felt unheard and unseen and ununderstood. And so I think we can listen to our children even when they're not calm. And that's what a beautiful thing we can give them. And that is really forming connection. When you can listen to your child when they're not calm, that informs your connection to them. And that really shows them, like, I can take it. I'm a big girl. I can handle it because I'm mature enough and I'm evolved enough to do it. Even if you're still not mature and evolved enough, I know I was not mature or evolved enough when I first started this stuff and I had to like talk myself into it. Now I think I'm a bit better. 13 years later, let's hope, ladies and gentlemen, I'm better. If I'm not better, then I shouldn't be doing this work. But I am. I'm better now. But that's 13 years in. I've had a lot of experience and practice. And so if you're not there yet, that's okay. But you can somewhat fake it until you make it. You can say to yourself, I'm going to hold space right now in this one time. And I'm not going to tell them that they need to be calm in order to be listened to. Number four, I can't hear you when you're using unkind words. Yes, we can hear them actually. And we can hear that those words are unkind, but that's not the moment to tell them that those are unkind words. And I don't think that they don't know what they're doing. I think they're so dysregulated and so immature and having such a hard time that they're finding all the unkind words and they're spewing them about because they don't know what else to do. And we've been there, right? I've said unkind words. I've said horrible things to my kids. And I didn't mean it. And it's not that I don't like them or I was, you know, thinking poorly of them or it was even about them. Usually it's about me. And I think that's something to really, you know, dial into, that we don't yell at our kids because it's about them, really. Usually we yell at our kids or we're upset or we say unkind things because we're stressed. Our children are no different. They are exactly the same. So if we are hearing these unkind words, we can't take it personally. We have to just believe that they need to get through it and that if we can be with them, they will get through it. Number five, I hate this one too. I don't like any of these actually. This one really, really bothers me. Calm down. If you tell me to calm down, I'm going to get mad actually. And as a kid, if you told me to calm down, ooh, that would send me soaring. And I know there's a lot of temperament, people who have that same temperament, like my temperament, like that strong-willed temperament, the Esme temperament, like, heck no, I'm not calming down. Don't tell me to calm down. I'm going to get more upset. It also doesn't feel supportive. It just feels like, oh, you're out of control. You need to calm down. You need to, you know, get yourself in check and then I'll listen to you. You're the problem. You're having a hard time. You need to take care of yourself. It just feels very judgy and blamey. And so let's try not to say calm down because nobody wants to hear calm down, not you and not me, and certainly not our kids.
We're taking a break to hear from our sponsor so I can bring this podcast to you free of charge. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Now back to the show.
Number 6. It's no big deal.
Well, yeah, certainly it's no big deal to us because it's not our upset.
It's a big deal to whoever's upset. But guess what? Your upset isn't a big deal to me, and my upset isn't a big deal to you. The only person that the upset is a big deal to is the person having the upset. And we need to allow them that space to have the upset, even if we don't quote unquote agree with it. It doesn't matter if we agree that your block tower toppled over and it's no big deal. It's a big deal to a 3-year-old. It's no big deal that you know, your friend can't hang out with you today. Well, it's a big deal to the 11-year-old, you know, or every kid developmentally, whatever they're going through, where they're having a disappointment or where they're upset, it is a big deal to them. And we have to honor that just because it doesn't fall on the scale of property taxes and getting food on the table and ex-husbands and wives and all these things that are really big for us. They're equally as big for our children. So we have to recognize that it actually is a big deal to them. They are having a hard time and it's okay for them to be struggling. We don't have to tell them to stop struggling. Number 7, I told you not to do X. Now look what happened. I told you so's. Those are another ones that grate on my nerves when people tell me. I mean, all these things make me as an adult bananas. Told you not to do that. Now look what you did. Blah, 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 blah. No adult needs to be told, I told you so. We pretty much know when we did the right thing. If I'm speeding and I get caught by the police and I come home and I tell my partner and they're like, I told you not to speed. Shouldn't have been speeding. Well, yeah, no, duh. But I got caught and I made a mistake, but I don't need you rubbing it in my face because guess what? Now I'm mad at you. I'm mad at the cop, I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at you because you rubbed it in my face. We don't need to do that. Our kids are equally as smart as we are. They know when they did something wrong that they weren't supposed to, that they've been told before. So we don't need to point it out to them. We just need to be supportive when our kids have these hard times. And number 8, that's what happens when you blink. Well, that's what happens when you run down the street. You're going to fall and get a boo-boo. That's what happens when you are mean to your friend. They're not going to play with you anymore. When we do that to our kids, they have nowhere to go with their mistake. Where are they going to go now? They don't have a safe space to be having a mistake, to be misstepping, to be doing the wrong thing. They need a safe space for that misstep, for that wrongdoing. And it's so lovely when we can be that place for them, because what are we forming? We're forming deep connection and bond. And we're saying, you know what? I love you no matter what. I love you unconditionally. So with all these, you know, as I'm explaining them, there's a hint of just be supportive during a misstep or a mistake or a hard moment during a dysregulation. Whether it's, you know, a sibling thing or whether your child has, you know, made a mistake just on their own, or whether they're just dysregulated because they're having a hard time from the maladies of life. We, as their supportive person, as the only person probably in their entire life who will be able to support them this way, we get to offer them this unique opportunity to be the softest place in their life. What a beautiful gift we get to give to them if we can do that. So it's not the time to teach your child a lesson. It's not the time to try to tell them to be calm or self-regulate. We don't want to calm them down. It's time for us to listen with empathy and understand. And here's a few little phrases that I think might work, but what I always say is listening is more important than talking. If you can listen through these and really hold space, and when I say hold space, people ask me, what's hold space? What's hold space? Hold space is like, check your agenda, check it at the door, come with just a calm presence. And it's like you're the container for the feelings. That's all you are. You don't care what those feelings are. You don't take them personally. They're not good or bad. You're just there to witness them. And you don't get your feathers too ruffled. And you might say things like, I'm right here. I hear you. I understand. I am listening. Or better yet, just be quiet and listen.
The greatest gift we can give to our kids is to be the safest place for their dysregulation. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy. It sucks having to be that sponge, right? You're the sponge. You're taking it all on. And at the end of a week, that sponge is full of water. And what I'd say to you if you're full of water is that, and this is a whole different episode, and maybe I'll try to do an episode soon on this, is you need a listening partner. You need to get into this program. You need to work the steps, not like AA, but kind of. You need to work the tools, and you need to get that. One of the tools is the listening partnership. And if you can get the listening partnership, then you get to squeeze your sponge and all the water comes out because you get to have your upset with another adult who's also doing this work. If you want a listening partner, you don't even know what that is, get into our group programs, get into the private Facebook group, get into our, you know, Connected Parent Mastermind or one-on-one coaching. We set you up with listening partnerships, the 30-day challenge, any of those places. Also in my Facebook private group, people are always looking for listening partnerships there, but know the rules, know how it works. There's a nuance to being a listening partner, and you really have to research that. I'm going to do a podcast episode on that soon. So stay tuned for that so we can get your sponge, you know, wrung out. In the meantime, hold space for your kids. They deserve it. They deserve to have a safe spot to be dysregulated. You'll be the only people in their whole life that will be able to accept them unconditionally. And hopefully their partners do too. But for now, it's you. So it's a big job. I know that. I deeply understand that. But this is so much easier than saying, calm down. I told you so. It's no big deal. You know, I can't hear you when you're speaking like that. Take a deep breath. Those things don't make people feel better. They really don't, but listening does. All right. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you haven't downloaded my Guide to Empathy, I would do that. I'm going to link it here in the notes. And it gives you some more ideas about how to be a good listener. All right. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you are here, and I'll see you guys next time. A quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.